first reading for this Feast of All Saints comes from Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what does the word saint mean? If you find it in the Bible, and depending upon the translation you use, you can, it's a translator's choice. It's used to translate a construct, the good ones. Paul would often close his letters, "Greet all the good ones. Greet all the saints." But that just scratches the surface of what saint means. Our three texts for All Saints Day each carry a bit of a different idea. The gospel text is the Beatitudes, and there is the idea of blessings. although blessed is one of those words that has gained meaning over the long years from being used by Jesus, it could be as light as happy, fortunate, lucky. But the general sense for our purposes is one who has been given or gifted with certain opportunities. The saint is the one that God has given the opportunity to be poor in spirit, to be a peacemaker, to be persecuted for Jesus' sake. The epistle shares the idea of having received something from God, the love that the Father has given to us. But that gift is less about how the saint acts and more about our identity. You are the children of God. The saints are the members of God's family. And the picture of a saint from Revelation isn't foundational, a child of God, nor is it vocational, blessed to live in a certain way, but it's eschatological. The saints are the great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language who have before the Lamb clothed in white singing the song. We'll come back to those biblical pictures. But we should also ponder for a second some of the popular definitions of what a saint is. From the Roman Catholic Church, they have a very specific idea. Formally, it is a soul whose presence before God is known. That's proven in a couple of ways. The first is the holiness of life. That holiness of life might be the launching of their cause. And that cause then is proven by asking those saints for intercession and receiving it, usually in the form of some type of miracle. These saints, even with the recent increase in declarations, are few in number. Something opposite of the great multitude. They are a picture of perfection, if slightly less perfect than Jesus. Human enough to ask for a favor, to go into the big guy's office for us, but close enough to that office to actually get in. Now, Lutherans and most Protestants also have a list like that. You could find ours in the front of the hymnal. But popularly, I think that we take the great multitude as the reality. The saints, to most Protestants, are the great cloud of witnesses, the church at rest. We know them personally. They are important to our faith, if not a large cult of a saint. And one last grab bag of a popular understanding, let's just call it the outside the church view. You have the New Orleans type saints, which are a mascotted version of a victory parade. When those saints go marching in, it's a picture of the great multitude put in the service of winning football games. Harmless fun. But then you have the Billy Joel version. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The saints as priggish, no fun types who have taken to heart, blessed are those who mourn, maybe a little too much. I think the problem with most of those popular understandings is that we're no longer talking about what is a saint, but who is a saint. And when you start thinking about who is a saint, the biggest problem is that we really don't know. It's not our role, it's not our task to judge. All we know are two things. First, we know the promise of God. You are the child of God. Before the foundation of the world, God has chosen you. He's predestined you to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. In baptism, that election has taken on material reality. In those waters, combined with the Word of God, he's put his name on you and he's claimed you as his child. We know this. The world might not know this. It might not recognize you because it didn't recognize him. That doesn't stop us from knowing it. God has made you his child. And eventually, this will be revealed to all. The second thing that we know is the description of how the people of God act here and now. You could take this as a summary of the law: love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You could take this as those beatitudes. You could also take this as the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against any of those, and those are the virtues of the saints. These are the things that we can recognize. They're the descriptions of the saints. Blessed by the Spirit, by their fruits, you will know them. And it's here that I think the Lutheran confessions are very wise. The purpose of the saints is not to declare our judgment on them, because they're well beyond our judgment. Even less are they simply mascots or joyless scolds. Neither, though, are they merely personal heroes, defined however we want to define them. The apology of the Augsburg Confession holds that the saints have a threefold honor. The first is thanksgiving. For we ought to give thanks to God because he has shown us examples of mercy. Because he has shown us he wishes to save all men. Because he has given teachers and other gifts to the church. When we see people living the life of faith, even when we are mourning that someone's race in that faith has been finished, we are still thankful for it. Because the saints demonstrate to us that God has been merciful to us. He's called sinners his children. And he's ensured that his word is proclaimed to us from age to age. Other believers are how that word is proclaimed to us. And that word that comes from outside of us comes through the means of God's saints. Call it recognizing the body of Christ. And we should all give thanks. The second service is of strengthening our faith. Saints can be those who first brought us to the font. They can be those that taught us the faith. They can be those who, under trial, endure in that faith. They are there, those that we share our burdens with. And they are those that we share the consolations of the faith with. The life of faith is not a solo act. God never intended it to be solo. The saints are there for the mutual consolation and the strengthening of each other's faith. The third honor is the imitation, first of faith, then of other virtues, which everyone should imitate according to his calling. Paul tells the Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He also charges Timothy and Titus to be examples of faith to those that he has sent them. The saints are given to us as exemplars for this life. We first imitate them in their faith. Without faith, you don't have the saints. We also imitate them in life. And we do this because all the saints are being conformed to the likeness of Christ. We are all together growing up into our Lord. The purpose of the saints, per the confessions, is not to concentrate on their otherworldly place, but is very this worldly. The saints are examples of life. We trust God for the life in the age to come, just like those saints did, and just like they do. But we've been given fathers and mothers and other examples so that we might live their faith. Whose we are, God has taken care of. He's made us into his children. Where we will end up has also been handled. All the saints have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And that Lamb, having risen, will likewise call all of us out of that grave. These things are the word and promise of God and the saints. Any saint you know believes these things. And that is what we take from them, their faith. But they are also blessed, just like we are blessed, and that we are called to live this life now. And we learn that by watching. Thanks be to God, who has given us such a great cloud of witnesses to model. Amen.